Just gonna take a few minutes to review some of the basic points of this question of wearing shoes on Yom Kippur. It's an issue which I assume that most of us have dealt with every year. And the importance of this issue is just that, you know, we know obviously Yom Kippur is a time of tshuva and Yom Hadin, and you know, the culmination of the period of Hashem deciding our Gzar Din for the coming year. And these concepts are obviously very, very important. We know there's, you know, obviously, you know, not eating and drinking on Yom Kippur is also, you know, serious isser, potentially an isser karis if you do so, you know, more than a certain amount. Those are obviously very important. Sometimes, you know, wearing leather shoes and rechitza, washing and bathing and stuff like that, sometimes those take a back seat to the other main themes of Yom Kippur. And it's important, obviously, you know, when we're dealing with Yom Kippur, to try to remember, to try to be makbid on the other halachas as well. And this is something which, again, we're all familiar with the issue, but, you know, maybe we don't always think about it so much to at least know what we're doing. Meaning, there may be different opinions, but at least to know that whatever your practice is, that you understand what it's based on.
Other than eating and drinking, other things that have karis.
Right, so nothing else has karis, other than eating and drinking. There's a machlukas in the Rishonim, whether rechitza and sicha and ilas hasandal and tashmish hamita, whether they're isurim deraisa or derabanan. Okay, that's a machlukas. It may be that they're still Doraisa, but they're definitely not Isakaris. Okay, where they might be, they're only Darabon. That's a machlokas that we showed them in the Seches Yoma here. Anyway, so when it comes to wearing shoes, so we all know this idea of wearing leather shoes or not wearing leather shoes. The question is, you know, is it so simple and what is it based on? So the Gemara itself never actually says that non-leather shoes are permissible. Okay, which is the basis for the whole controversy about, you know, shoes today. The Mishnah just says you can't have Ne'ilas Sandal, you can't wear sandal. In the Gemara, so we know that wearing shoes is prohibited. What is the basis for not wearing shoes on Yom Kippur? So there's a concept called inoy. What does inoy mean?
Suffering
or affliction, right? That's what the Torah says. Ta'anu is not shozichem, you should afflict yourselves. Okay? So we got to afflict ourselves on Yom Kippur. And one of the ways of afflicting ourselves is not wearing normal shoes. Okay? It gives you a little bit more affliction if you're not wearing your comfortable normal shoes. The problem is that the Gemara says later, has a few examples of Amoraim that went out with certain things on their feet. Okay? It says that Abai went out with hutzi, sandals made of palm leaves. Rabbi Yehuda says went out with rehitni, which is sandals made out of hitni, which is some sort of other types of, you know, other material.
Those sound worse than nothing.
Right, well, hold on, that's the question.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, all those kind of things. Okay, and Rava went out with yable, which is some sort of sandals made out of a grass type of material. Okay, so and Rav Rav Huna would basically karech sudra. He would put a kerchief around his feet and go out with that. So the question is, what is the reason why these Amoraim were allowed to go out with these types of materials? I mean, what is the basis for that heter? What do you say?
That's a heter. That's what
they
were doing.
Yeah, it was mutter. They said it was mutter. They obviously thought it was mutter l'chachila. If you have Amoraim doing things, they considered it permissible. Question is, why? Why is that permissible if it's not English? If, you know, not...
You've got to get to shul.
You got to get to shul. Okay.
Those aren't called home. Oh, you're saying why they were allowed at all?
Yeah, why were they allowed? Why is that not English Asanda?
Those aren't shoes.
Why not?
Or maybe they're not comfortable.
They don't have the name of shoe.
Well, made out of regular material.
Okay. Okay, good. So you don't all say exactly the same thing. You're close, but not exactly the same, and those differences make a big difference in the halacha. The other idea that what Shlomo said, that you got to get to shul, so that's also an idea, which we're not going to go into now, but it is mentioned in the halacha that if it's going to be painful, the post will talk about this, if it's going to be painful to get to shul because you're not wearing shoes, so you're allowed to wear shoes in public out on the street and then get them there, and then when you get there, you take them off. So that is going to be mutter regardless. Okay, we don't want you to hurt your feet and step on glass and who knows whatever else is out there. Back in the day, of course, also the non-Jews, you know, would also laugh at you and who knows what else they might do to you. Today we have other problems, but that's, you know, God, thank God that's not so much of a problem today. Anyway, but aside from that, so there's different options about why we understand why the Amoraim were allowed to do these things. Okay, and each of them make a difference. Okay, so one option, I'll just say the different Rishonim. So the Rif has one idea. The Rif basically says, well, you know what? All of them were not wearing leather shoes. Okay, it was palms, it was grass, it was this, it was that. It's not leather. Only leather is considered to be forbidden because leather is considered to be the standard halachic type of shoe. And that's it. And the Gemara didn't say that. That's the Rif's idea. Okay. However, other Rishonim disagree. Okay, other Rishonim say that basically it's not, I forgot who says this, but other Rishonim say it's not a shoe. Like, I mean, these things were not really shoes. There's palm leaves, there's grass. It's not a shoe.
It's okay? Sort of the sole of the shoe, right?
Yeah. Okay, again, there's different versions of how to say this. I'm not going to go into the details right now. Explain. I didn't see that one. Did you see that one? That explanation I did not see. It's a creative one. To look around and see if anybody says anything like that. Anyway, so... thing a little too far. Anyway, basically, the other option is that maybe we're talking about basically shoes. Shoes have to be... shoes would actually offer some sort of protection of any form, meaning that if it's a shoe, these shoes don't really offer any protection. If you have, you know, grass or whatever else, it's not very significant. It's not very tangible. Okay. The Rambam has another idea, which is basically that the shoe is similar to that, but not exactly the same thing. That shoes have to basically, you have to be able to feel the floor, meaning that if you have a shoe which you can't really feel the floor directly on it because the sole is thick, so then that's considered to be a halachic shoe, and that's why any other shoe would be forbidden. But these shoes, they're more, you know, even though, yes, they, you know, they're very thin. Since you can feel the floor through them, they're very thin. So then, therefore, they would not be included. What's the halacha? So the Shulchan Aruch, the halacha basically passes. I mean, what he passes, seemingly. What's that? We didn't get to that yet. Hold on, we have another 6 minutes. Shmuel, don't jump the gun here. What does the Shulchan Aruch say? Can you remember?
Maybe it's something about just those. Oh, which one of those shoes?
So we didn't get there. So the Shulchan Aruch says, okay, that you're not allowed to wear a sandal, okay, a sandal of significant whatever type of shoe, or min'al shal or, okay, or a shoe made out of leather. That's what the Shulchan Aruch says, and it's based on the Rif and the Rosh and the other Rishonim that holds up. So the question is, what is a sandal? Okay, what is a sandal?
Two things are also, is it a shoe that you're right, and a sandal.
You're right. The question is, what is a sandal? Okay, so it could be that, again, a sandal is a different material than a shoe is. But the question is, is the sandal that they're talking about here, does it mean a sandal made out of leather? Or is it a sandal, you know, which is not made out of leather? Okay, so the Mishnah. Was that? What? Correct. So the Mishnah Brura here says, based on Rashi, not on Yom, but Rashi elsewhere, the Mishnah Brura says that the leather is actually going on both of them, both the sandal and the min'al. Okay, he says one of them is or kasheh, hard, thick leather, and the other one is or rach, the min'al is soft leather. Okay, but the point, according to the Rashi that the Mishnah Brura is quoting, and this is mentioned by many poskim, is that as long as there's leather, it's forbidden, but if there's no leather, then it's permitted. Okay. However, the Mishnah Brura mentions here that there are other opinions as well. Okay, later on, the Mishnah Brura basically mentions the other opinions. First, he says the idea that if it's not leather, it's not considered to be a halachic shoe. And then he says, some are machmir, some achronim, which is based on, now I remember who it was the Baal Hamor, okay, who's machmir, who basically says that even if it's like a wooden shoe, even if it's not leather or whatever, some people are machmir, if it's made like a regular shoe, if it protects the foot, and it's made like a regular shoe, then even if it's not leather, it's still included. And all the cases in the Gemara of the brush and the grass and this and that, they didn't offer protection. So, and then, of course, you have the Rambam. So the question is, what's the halacha? So the Mishnah Brura says, basically, even though the Me'ikar Hadin, the Shulchan Aruch paskins, that if it's not leather, it's permissible, he says, even though you shouldn't protest those that are Mekel, because most people are Mekel, most poskim are Mekel, he still says, those that are able to do so, Nachol Mahachmir, it's better to walk around with things that don't serve the purpose of a shoe at all. Okay, he says if you have to go outside, again, you have to go in public, and there's no other way to get to shul, then maybe it's mutter. But he says in shul or at home, he says it's appropriate, nachol machmir, he doesn't say you have to be machmir, he says it's appropriate to be machmir, to not go with regular types of shoes. So the question is based on this, what should be the halacha? Meaning, what do we do with sneakers, other shoes today, which are, you know, fake leather? Okay, we have plenty of these in our house, even a lot of Shabbos shoes that we have, you know, it says, you know, all man-made ingredient, man-made materials, if you know what I'm talking about. The Israeli shoe thing, it doesn't say what they are. But in America, they actually say man-made leather on it, or real leather, or whatever. You know exactly what it is. What's the story with that? And then what's the story with Crocs and v'chule v'chule? So what would you say, based on the different opinions here, what should be the halacha according to each opinion?
Well, if it functions like a shoe and protects it, it wouldn't matter what it's made out of.
Right. So according to the Baal HaMor and the Mishnah Brura's Chumrah, you would say that basically any kind of sneaker, any kind of other type of shoe.
There's no shoe that doesn't act like a shoe.
Oh, so the
house slippers.
Oh, so that's a question. What do you think about slippers?
Walking outside, you feel the floor, right? You feel the ground when you walk outside.
Oh, we're gonna get to Crocs. We'll get to Crocs in a second.
Okay. No, you're right. There are cheap house slippers.
Like some are
right. Cheap house slippers.
You feel it. You definitely feel every step for cheap house slippers. And how much protection does it offer you? It offers you some, but it's not as much protection as a regular shoe.
So basically, ideally, you should,
like, come up
whatever shoes you wear, you should take them off each other, ideally.
Yeah, but again, I personally wear slippers, okay? I think, right. A lot.
And you'll see there are people who do that.
Yeah.
You're right.
It depends where, though. Not in Europe, maybe they wore socks, but other places in the Middle East, you're right.
Isn't that, like, it's just silly. We're going out on a serious day, and everything's so serious. And you have like your bunny slippers. It's like, what is this? You know what I mean? Like,
right. I have black. I have black slippers. I don't have bunny slippers. Right.
It's something like.
Okay.
It's just good.
That's also a question. We don't have time to get into it now. It's a good question. Okay. Right. Right. The question is, how does Inui reflect, you know, has it reflected in the day? And there's an interesting discussion in the Gemara about other examples of Inui. I mean, usually Inui is just whatever we say. I mean, it's either, you know, it's not washing, it's not anointing, it's not, you know, Tashmish Amita, and it's not eating and drinking. But there are some other interesting examples in the Gemara where they talk about whether you can't prepare certain vegetables, you know, in the afternoon on Yom Kippur because, you know, it's you want to be afflicted, or the other way, that maybe if you prepare the vegetables, then you're going to be afflicted because you see you're so hungry and you see that you're making them, and then you can't eat them. You know, so that's also a discussion. We're not going to get into that now. But yeah, it's a very, very interesting question. When it comes to this issue particularly, so then this is what comes out. Okay, most poskim do allow slippers and, you know, the types of things that you really can feel the floor very, very easily, and they don't offer a significant amount of protection, the same thing as shoes do. Most poskim hold that those are permissible, though, as you said, there are some that are machmer even on that. Okay, when it comes to sneakers and other shoes, so that's going to be the machlokas. According to the Rif and the Shulchan Aruch, it seems like it should be permissible because they're not leather, end of story. And according to the Mishnah Berurah and the Baal HaMor, you know, at least as l'chumra, according to the, you know, those Rishon that say you shouldn't, and the Mishnah Berurah is chumra, they would say that those types of shoes should not be worn. And again, if you have no option, if you have other choices, it's fine. But, you know, l'chachila, it's better to try to find something else that's not, you know, the context of a regular shoe. According to the Rambam, it's somewhere in the middle. I mean, the Rambam is the one who said that basically it depends on how much you can feel the floor or not. So, you know, a shoe that you can feel the floor, even if it offers protection, maybe you would say that such a shoe would be permissible according to the Rambam. The Rambam, again, is not mentioned, is not quoted in the Shulchan Aruch, but again, it's another shita to deal with.
Every shoe you walk in, you feel the floor.
It means that you don't feel the hardness of the floor. Okay?
There's a little pebble, you know about the pebble.
Right. You'll feel it very significantly.
You feel an impression,
right.
But you won't feel...
You'll feel hard, right. You'll feel like a thudded, yeah. Whatever. So wrap up with the... And the poskim, there, you know, the different opinions about this. But most of them basically agree that maker din, those, you know, the regular shoes that are not leather are mutter, but maybe it should be better to be machmir, but not every, but, you know, there's different versions of this type of thing. Rav Harari here in his sefer, he lists a whole bunch of different poskim that talk about this, again, with a slightly, you know, different variety of opinions. Bottom line, what do we do about Crocs? So Crocs is the most recent invention over the past, whatever it is, 15, 20 years now. I don't know how long they've been around. Where do Crocs fit in? Crocs are a very, very popular shoe for Yom Kippur because they are, you know, they're definitely not leather. But at the same time, they're very comfortable. And, you know, if you're standing on your feet all day in shul, so it's an easy choice of shoes to wear. And apparently, even in the Haredi community, you know, these, you know, pink or orange colored Crocs would be very popular on Yom Kippur, even though the rest of the year they would never, ever catch themselves wearing it. So, right. So what's the when it comes to Crocs? Is it exactly the same thing as their shoes or not? It's definitely not leather. Certainly Crocs are not leather. Right, good. Crocs are definitely not leather. Okay. According to the Rambam, though, the question is, if it's based on how much can you feel the floor, how, to be honest, I don't know, because I don't wear Crocs.
Depends how much can you... Depends how old your Crocs are.
You can't. Uh-huh. It's like a shoe.
It really does.
Yeah. Crocs are beautiful.
What about faux leather,
nice looking
faux leather shoes?
So again, maker din, according to the leather opinions of the Shulchan Aruch based on the Rif, it seems like that should be mutter, but there seems to be a strong grounds for being machmir based on. What did you say? That's a good question. Once upon a time, the answer would probably be yes. Today, the answer is probably not, because there's so many shoes like that today that I think people would realize, as long as you look like a religious person, you look like somebody who would be, you know, careful about these things, you can usually be assumed that the person is, you know, is wearing non-leather shoes. Mistama, you could see it both ways, but I think Mistamei would be okay today.
Don't joke.
But right. But in terms of, again, the Mishnah Berurah's Chumras, it seems like, you know, certainly crocs should still be included, even though they're pretty flimsy. But at the end of the day, you know, if it's something which is something that people normally wear, it's worn as a normal shoe, and people wear it the rest of the year also, at least, again, in some communities. So it seems like, according to the Mishnah Berurah's Chumrah, it would be appropriate to be machmir not to wear crocs. Again, it doesn't mean that you have to do it. It means that if you're going to be machmir like the Mishnah Berurah...
Sandalim, no? Like, what about, like, Teva sandals?
So it seems like... It seems like he's saying that any, according to the Balamor, anything which is, again, he says, anything which is made like a shoe, asui kimin al shalanu, who may gain al regla, and it protects significantly the foot, your foot, the eno margish klal shu yachev, and you don't feel like you're barefoot, you don't feel like you're any different than regular shoes, he says that's not considered to be inoy, and that would be, you know, that would be problematic according to the Baal HaMor, and therefore it's good to be machmir like that opinion. So mistama crocs is probably included in the chumrah, one would think, because again, it's not exactly like the same shoe, but it's made in a way which, you know.
Why did nobody just go barefoot? And those, why did all the haramim in the Gemara? Why did they just?
Obviously, right.
They wanted to be machmir, really, like you'd say. So
that, no, but again, so you could argue that what they were wearing was grass, right?
Now, maybe there's dafka and inyan to wear something.
Can you say that, I mean, inui is stripping away comfort, that doesn't mean actively torturing yourself. Let me say something, you're supposed to asphyxiate yourself.
Right. Like, don't wear regular shoes with nails.
Some people, and the Gemara is very sensitive. You have a number of Amoraim and Tanaim in the Gemara. The Gemara talks about who are sensitive to certain things. Right, who are sensitive.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying, but it gave a list of everyone wearing something.
Right. So some people who really felt very uncomfortable, and the truth is, feet are so sensitive,
right?
Yeah, you know, and certain people, you know, wear a certain kind of shoe and it bothers your knees, your back, all these things. So some people have a certain basic need for stumbling. I can't walk out and my feet are freezing, and circulation is another consideration into
there. No, but I'm suggesting that was more than that. I mean, that was our kind of our halamim in the beginning.
No, so
the fact that it said lists every single person wearing something.
No, so the chumra mistama, I think that's the point. Maybe these things are very hard to quantify to give an across-the-board policy. Mm-hmm. The chumrah is, you know, you could...
Halacha
needs to have standardized measures, okay? Leather or not leather, check or not check.
Yeah.
But the chumrah is to get yourself back to the point of inui. And inui is not torture, but stripping away comfort.
I think that's a good point. It's not torture. It means that you're just reducing the amount of comfort that you have. Lack of comfort, but not pain. You're not causing yourself direct pain. I think that's a good way to explain it. So the bottom line is, when it comes to crocs, so basically it's what we said, you know, the Mikra dinner probably is mutter, but yet we have supposed to be machmir. I saw in some of the literature recently that Rav Yosha, probably a couple years ago, he actually knew about crocs, apparently. People did ask him about it. And apparently Rav Yosha felt like this also. He said that Mikra din crocs are permissible to wear Yom Kippur, but he felt that it's appropriate to be machmir, which again, in the Haredi community, that was a big thing, because a lot of people, you know. I saw that Rav Yaakov Ariel also apparently felt that it's good to be machmir about this, and I think even Rav Malamed, I was surprised to see this, Rav Malamed and Pnei Halacha, I think, also said that it's good to be machmir and not to wear crocs or other kinds of shoes like that. On the other side, you know, the Harau here quotes Rav Mordechai Eliyahu, who felt he insisted that you could be mekel and it's not a problem, and da 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 da. I saw also in Rabbi Eider's book, Zatzal, on the 3 weeks. So Rav Eider, who's from Lakewood, one of the English books, so he also, he didn't make any distinctions. He just said, you know, non-leather shoes is mutter and anything else is fine. L'chav chila, no problems, no questions asked whatsoever. So the bottom line is, you know, you have what to rely on either way. You should just be aware of what the different opinions are. And again, if it's easy to be machmir, it's not a bad idea to be machmir. And in terms of the take-home message, I think the take-home message is relevant either way. The take-home message is that, you know, Yom Kippur, as we said, is a day of inui. Inui means that we're afflicting ourselves in the physical realm. We're trying, our goal on Yom Kippur is not comfort, okay? It doesn't mean we have to create pain for ourselves, but it means that our goal on Yom Kippur is looking upward, okay? Upward is ruchnias, spirituality, like Rabbi Epstein was saying, our eyes are up here, okay? If we're on Yom Kippur, we're standing in shul, we're tired, we're hungry, but our goal is we're not looking down here, we're not thinking about hungry, we're not thinking about worrying on our feet. Our goal is to look upwards. If you can focus yourself on your ruchnias, on the spirituality, on the chazas nigunim, which I think some of you were Rosh Hashanah, I was in the hospital in Rehovot, so they had Edur Mizrach. which I was never used to. I always daven Ashkenaz. Like, what are these? There's no nigunim. There's no piyutim. There's no nothing. How am I supposed to, you know, get into this?
They said the other way around.
Of course, I know that. Well, they can't argue about the piyutim because they don't really do too many piyutim. They don't. The Shulchan Aruch doesn't really allow it within the Shemoneh Esrei. But whatever it is, you know, if your mind is focused on the ruchnius, again, it's not an easy thing to do to say, but if you can do it and you feel it, it's an amazing. You feel like you're in a different world. Okay, you can totally feel the ruchnius. I said, no, I guess I do Mizrach. I'm sorry, I forgot the words. Yeah. Chas v'shalom. No, but it's either way. Yeah, I know. I come to the Nates Minyan more often than the. But anyway, you know, if you get yourself into that, you can open up a new dimension of life. You know, the ruchnius dimension is an incredible, incredible thing when you get to that point. Then on Yom Kippur, you're like, oh, you know, it's Kaili, you're like drunk. You know, you're like totally, you know, you're out there. But it's because you're so close to Hashem, you're drunk on ruchnius, you're drunk on HaKadosh Baruch Hu, like Epstein said. If you get to that point, then you should, you know, the goal is to get to that point that you don't realize what's on your feet. It doesn't matter whether you're wearing, you know, in sneakers, whether you're wearing Crocs, whether you're wearing nothing, because you're totally ignoring that. Your focus is up here. Mizrach Hashem, you know, you can think about some of these ideas and, you know, focus ourselves on keeping the halacha, but at the same time focusing upward and trying to get ourselves to the point of connecting to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that we are totally oblivious so what's going on our bodies and in our bodies. We should be zocha for a good year and for Marcha Sima Tova and health and ruchnius good. Yeah, please.
Just from the point you just made, which is actually very cool, I like that. But associating the ruchnius with the shoes, maybe you can think of the idea, not to the knees per se, but shalna lecha marav lecha.
Ah, very interesting. So I didn't think of that connection. You're right, that's a very, very significant thing.
Another question, you said that when you get to shul, one of the ideas that some people might do is to take their shoes. Sometimes they govern without their shoes, shmoneh esrei and everything.
Yeah. Again, most Ashkenazi poskim say it's better to wear socks, at least, without nothing on. I don't remember
this one. Right. Without shoes and
right. The question is,
you know, miss you with governing
right. Most of the poskim say you should avoid it. You should at least wear socks. Again, if you ask me about the Sephardi, you know, because of the practice in the Middle East, maybe it wasn't to wear shoes.
So
they talk about that. It seems like most poskim agree that it's better to wear something on your feet. But it may not be usher, especially on Yom Kippur and Tishbav. I think it's mutter. What is that?
Like a velut or a niyut for people that like maybe.
Abraham but Moshe removed their shoes.
Being barefoot because it's. Or making a bracha.
There's nothing making a bracha. Right, that's not a problem.
Rabbi Tatz quotes, I don't know who he's quoting, but he's quoting somebody else. He said on Purim, it's you throw off your head, you get drunk and you throw off your head, and it's a test for your goof.
Right.
For your students. So
right.
On Yom Kippur, you throw off the goof,
right.
And it's a test. It's a test for your head. So it doesn't make sense of what you're saying. That was the goal. If the inui is a distraction.
Right.
Then it's too much. I mean, right. You want the inui to be on a level that's
tolerable, but yeah,
you want it like right. the goof is out of the picture.
Right, like, right, right. Good. Yeah, very nice. Beautiful. Very nice.
Yeah.
Good. Yeah. Okay. Shkach.
Shkach. Oh yeah. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Yeah, it's fine. Shkach again to Shmuel. Thanks all you for coming. Shkach. Baruch Hashem, to everybody. Inspiring Yom Kippur. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Good things. Thanks for coming. All I saw in the Sefer, all he mentions about a talus, a gold talus. He quotes a few posts and say that's mutter. He doesn't mention anything about the other stuff. What's interesting is there is a minhag to wear white though. That's what's interesting. There's daka minhag to wear white in Yom Kippur, you know, like the malachim or whatever.
I didn't make it up. I heard such a thing like
now. Yeah, there's such a thing. I don't know.
This is very strange because.
Yom HaKippur is kind of like Yom HaDin.
Right.
But what's the Sanegor?
Oh, here it goes. He does talk about it. Yeah, look at this. Yeah.
What's the Sanegor of the Chuppah specifically?
Right.
What's the
efficacy? I don't know.
No, maybe because it's also in Paras of Horus,
right? Paras of Horus, I don't know. There, he does, he has a little thing here
on
it.
Well, you're just like forgiving on that, they are.
That is the Chuppah is like a reverse. Chuppah is like a reverse. It's not, I'm weird, it's like, I don't bring the faith I go under. You put it in the project. Well, you are. You're redoing exactly. Well, it's interesting. It's like you said. You want the person to forget this aspect. The person should focus on the other aspect.
Yeah.
At that time in time. And I swear, you don't want to like.
Here, he goes to the mentioned in that some places they don't have gold.
That's interesting, the idea of gold.
For women, it's fine. For women, we're going to put it around. But the good time is there's an issue for most other people. So, if you have a cord here for the computer, I can try to put it in.
Oh, yeah, yeah, sure.
If you have a phone cord.
Yeah, brought one down. No problem, sir.
Here's this. Yeah, so. Yeah. 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 Y